Okay, we're gonna do something different today. Just for fun. What time do we have here? All right, we're gonna go for a little while. We have communion at the altar. But I thought I might kind of share more informally, do some interaction as part of the message. There's something that has been working on my heart. Starting last week, I was preaching about being holy in heart, and we talked about circumcision of the heart. It may have been a little deep. Some people were really moved. Some people were probably lost with that. And I thought, as I've been thinking about that theme throughout the week, on Wednesday night I followed up on that. I was prompted to go back and listen to some messages by teaching pastor at Willow Creek Community Church, Bill Hybels, on building bigger hearts. So I thought we'd kind of go through this theme a little bit, follow up on this theme, picking up from last week, but getting down to cases in applying this theme in the beginning of a new year. We kind of look forward to what's coming and examine ourselves, examine our hearts. And it's very important for us to do that. So let's pray as we prepare. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would open our hearts and soften our hearts, that we might hear from You and respond in loving obedience to Your Word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, Hector read for you the scripture from Colossians. I want to read another verse to you, and that is from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, that really expresses the heart of my message this morning. I know you're a little nervous being this close to a preacher. Don't be afraid. It's okay. All right. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Now that we have been, that you have purified yourselves to by obeying the truth." We talked about holiness of heart and mind last week. Purifying yourselves with the truth. Having followed on that theme as we chart the course for a new year, Peter says, "So that you have a sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart." Love one another deeply from the heart. Now that's a very significant challenge for us today. I loved Hector's message to the children as he brought in the Grinch. I was actually thinking of another Christmas movie, a classic, of another one with a shrunken heart, a cold heart, right? Can you think of who I'm talking about? Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Yeah, that's a classic example of someone whose heart was really calloused, cold, shrunk, shriveled, whatever metaphor you want to use. I want to think about how we can examine ourselves, consider what our heart's capacity might be to love and be loved, to love God and to love one another. We're commanded to love one another deeply from the heart. What does that mean, and how do you know that you're doing that? Well, as we think about the heart, I want to think about gauges. Bill Hybels talks about three gauges that you need to be aware of so you can kind of keep track of your capacity for energy, whether it's physical energy or emotional energy or spiritual life and vitality. Three gauges, okay? Physical, emotional, and spiritual. Well, I'm not going to talk about physical energy, although I'm tempted to think about my grandkids' unbounding energy till they collapse at night, right? most of us are pretty aware of what we need to do to eat healthy, whether we do or not, right? How to keep energy built up physically. But what do you do emotionally? That's the focus of today. That's the focus of your heart. When you think about what the Bible describes as your heart, or what do we talk about? When we're talking about heart matters, last week we talked about matters of the heart, or the heart of the matter. What do we mean by heart? Any thoughts? Any ideas? What's a synonym for heart? I'm sorry? Soul. Well, okay. Yeah, I actually think that your spirit or your soul is a little bit different. That's a spiritual issue, not an emotional issue. I'm thinking more in terms of emotions. What else? Love, okay? Your capacity to love, show kindness, compassion, right? Yes. Your heart is your life, right? In the Bible, talks about that life that you have to offer one another and to the Lord. So your affections, your desires, your emotions. How do you gauge whether you're filled up emotionally or whether you're depleted? If you were to find a gauge, in my car, I have a 2004 Malibu. I know, it's depressing. I'm sorry if it embarrasses you guys that I drive this car. But anyhow, the gas gauge and the temperature gauge are both broken. Right? So every time I get in the car, I look to see if I have any gas. I don't know. Except that I go by the odometer. Every time I fill up, I know I have to reset the odometer, the marker. And if I go over 250, I might be running out of gas. Right? There, I know to look at that gauge. If you don't pay attention to gauges like that in the car, you might be in trouble. We know how to kind of gauge where we are financially. You pay attention to, well, am I out of money? How am I doing financially? Especially as we go into the new year. We know how to gauge our time management. But do we know how to gauge our emotional energy resources so that we might be able to love and be loved, show compassion, fulfill this command? Jesus said the greatest command when he was asked by the Pharisees, what's the most important thing? What's the greatest commandment? The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, okay? Exactly. Well, if we're to love God wholeheartedly, we need to have something within us that is enabling us to have that resource. And the second commandment is like unto it, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we live in a time, in a culture where there's kind of a crisis. There's so many things that drain us emotionally, that wear on us and wear us down. People are living, oftentimes, you talk to people, man, I'm just wiped out. I'm exhausted. And that might be physically, and these things overlap. They go together, working together. If you're sick, you don't have a whole lot of emotional enthusiasm either, if you're physically sick. Or if you're physically sick, spiritually, you're kind of dragging a lot of times and spiritually discouraged. So they interact, all these areas in our lives. And by the way, at some point I would challenge you to figure out how to gauge your spiritual life as well. But today we're talking about our heart, our emotional energy. What is it in this culture that just kind of kills the heart? What is it that going out in the cold, for example? Hello, right? Today, go out. I was praying that my battery in my car my 2004 Malibu would start, right? My battery's not that old, but in weather like this. I heard on the radio this last week, one of the guys on Star 99.1 said he left his cell phone in the car for 15 minutes, and it almost killed his cell battery. Just 15 minutes out in this sub-zero cold. We live in a cold world, and it's draining the energy right out of us. I want to ask you four questions. Four questions that, if you want to write them down on the back of your bulletin, I didn't give you sermon notes today, but if you want to write these down, good things to help you examine your heart, the heart of the matter. You have 3x5 cards. You'll have some more next week, so if you want to use the 3x5 card, you can do that. Take that. But the first question is, from the best you can tell, what is your heart gauge? What is your emotional energy gauge registering today? Are you filled up? Are you fired up? Are you just raring to go? Or are you just kind of, well, I'm going along, doing okay, mid-range? Or are you running on empty? Or some people say, I'm running on fumes. You know, are you running on the ragged edge of burnout emotionally from all the challenges in your life? If you were to assess that, number one question, what would your emotional gauge, gauging your emotional energy, what would that be registering today? Okay? Second question is, what is it in your life, and it's different from each of us are different, but what are the things, or what are the events, what are the people that tend to drain your emotional life? What is it in your life that kind of sucks the life right out of you? Feel like, man, if I can only get through this. What are some things that tend to shrink our hearts? Let's brainstorm. Watching the news. Whoa, yeah. Skip over that and watch the Hallmark Channel. Okay. What else? What can be a drain to your heart? Ooh, being around negative people, right? And there's some people you can't avoid being with, right? Your husband or your kids. It's like, oh. And you have to be aware. You have to be able to replenish that resource if you're constantly around people that are negative. In fact, Gary Smalley, you ever hear of Gary Smalley, Christian counselor, psychologist, marriage counselor? He talks about the four horsemen of the marriage apocalypse. Four C's, okay? Complaints, criticism. I wrote it down. On my 3x5 card. Criticism, complaints, correction, and control. Criticism, complaints, correction, and control. If you live with somebody who's controlling, always complaining, negative, like that, that wears on you. It can shrivel and shrink your own heart. So you have to compensate by other things. What are some other things? Work. Okay, sometimes. Sometimes my work invigorates me, right? But sometimes it can be draining. What else? I'm sorry? Prideful people. Yeah, it's very similar in a sense. You know, other people around you who are arrogant, obnoxious, and so forth. Okay. I'm hoping that you're not thinking, oh, well, I got to avoid that person. God can use us to love everybody if we have big hearts. If we have continually growing hearts. but there are lots of things. That conflict, man, that drains me. Anything else you can think of? If you notice that you're irritable, lacking patience, lacking compassion and mercy for people that you come in contact with that God loves, you've got to examine your heart. Do you have a shrunken heart? Do you have a heart that's got calluses on it from all the hammering that happens in this world? We live in a world where it's not heart-friendly sometimes. We have to come together. Well, that raises the next question. What is it in your life, you specifically, that replenishes that energy level, that builds a bigger heart? What is it for you that helps to build you back up again emotionally? Any thoughts?
Yeah.
Reading the Bible daily. Ah, there you go. Reading the Bible. There is a spiritual connection. And that's actually my conclusion for this message, is knowing the love of God, the source of love flowing in you. That is the biggest replenishment. But sometimes, we didn't even mention this when we came to draining you, shrinking your heart, sometimes the pace of life, just the schedule of activities. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to talk to encouraging friends. I don't have time for hugs or whatever it is that builds you back up. Right? We live in such a fast-paced, hyperactive society. We're just kind of skimming across the surface. Hydroplaning, if you will. Actually, this season, skating. On thin ice sometimes is a better metaphor. But, right? We're just kind of right over the surface. How do you get beneath the surface? The bottom line is the love of God alive in your heart. But what else? You know, on a social level. Yeah, Ken?
Seeing and experiencing answered prayer.
Ah, boy, that's a big one. Seeing and experiencing answered prayer. Hallelujah. That encourages your heart. Yes, Jackie? Ah, listening to Christian programming, like The Bridge. Yep. Messages, getting input. Yes. Joy? Being right here in the Christian family. Right? There are some people that kind of drain you, even in church, but yes, in general, God designed us to be in community. Got to make sure we're not going too long. Three more minutes. Okay. Yes? Doesn't that sound good? Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you just got to stop. Get off the rat race, the treadmill. Be still. In God's presence. Yes. Is there somebody back here? Yes. I'm sorry. I got to come back closer. Yes, you said, Kristen? Okay. You know, laughter makes a merry heart, Proverbs says. Yes, Dana? Children. You know, I have to tell you, as we were talking about this theme, look at that. Mel came up with that. That's such a great metaphor there. This last Wednesday, we did communion at midweek worship, and I asked for volunteers. Anybody want to help me serve communion? And TJ, Tyler Oliveira volunteered. Man, he and Melissa teamed up together to serve communion. I watched this little guy, and my heart just was swelling up. I came out of midweek worship full because I saw him delighting to serve the Lord and serve in the family. Man, that blew me away. Anyhow, anything else? What builds you up? Fellowship, right? Like Joyce said, in the midst of the family of God, being together, to stand together, to hold one another up, to encourage one another according to biblical patterns. That's God's plan to build bigger hearts in contrast to the world. We got to come out of the world sometimes. Sometimes we need to go out into the world and be the light, be the salt. But we also need to come together to re-energize, to build our hearts together. Okay, one more question. Fourth question, and that is, are you willing this year to consider this, to continue to meditate on this, to ruminate on this topic, to consider, well, where is that gauge anyhow he was talking about? I don't know where that gauge is. Guys, ask your wife. She knows about emotions, right? Feelings. I don't say that in a sexist way. Women are much more in tune with emotional energy. Right? But in this world, we sometimes forget to keep track of that. We tend to run towards exhaustion, burnout, up against the wall. Are you willing to allow God to grow your heart bigger this year? As we go forward, are you willing to consider what it is that will build a bigger heart for you in such a way that you can love one another and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? There's a lot at stake. This world needs people who can love, who have a big heart, a huge capacity to love and show love, because the world doesn't show it. Right? Amen? We need to be able to love the world, not the people in the world, right? You follow that? We need to be able to love one another so that the world sees our love and knows that we are His disciples. And all that comes from a love of God. There's the core. One of the ways in which we grow bigger hearts is through communion, the means of grace, as we come to the Lord's table. Turn in your hymnals, your red hymnals, to page number 12.